And we're live. Good day, everyone, and welcome to the Currency with Catherine podcast, where we're bridging you to financial peace. Make sure you like our page on Facebook, join our Facebook group, and of course, visit our website to book a free clarity call with me, Catherine. Let's get started. This is our first inaugural episode, and I am so excited, slightly nervous, but mainly excited. I'm going to give you my background and what my goal is for this particular podcast. Okay, so if you haven't guessed, I'm Catherine, I'm 28 years old, and I was born and raised in Alabama. You may or may not hear that Southern accent. I work remotely as a paraplanner for a wealth management firm based in Texas as my day job. As my evening job, I work as a financial wellness coach for my own company I created called Bridge Financial Boutique. My education background is always a topic for discussion. I knocked out my basics at a two-year community college, then I transferred to the University of Alabama, Roll Tide, and I got my bachelor's degree in criminal justice. Up to that point, my game plan was to go to law school. I grew up watching Cops, Judge Mathis, Judge Judy, Divorce Court, and I was just always this person that was into anything crime/legal related. Anyway, the summer before I graduated, I took an internship that mimicked the first year of law school, and I absolutely hated it. So now I'm at this point where I'm one semester away from graduating, and my career path has changed. So fast forward to my last semester, I took a white-collar fraud class. And to sum it up, that class pissed me off. I felt like it was so wrong for people to put their trust and their life savings to these advisors and companies, and they lost it all. And these financial advisors, and I say the word financial advisor with quotation marks around it, because if you stick with me long enough, we will talk about fake financial advisors. But anyway, these people didn't spend a day in jail. Some of them didn't even have to pay reparations. And to me, that was just wrong. So after about halfway through this course, I talked to my advisor about going into the financial sector and what ways could I combine criminal justice with finances. And of course, my advisor was like, well, there's not much you can do, but you can look into forensic accounting, etc. So at that point, I went to my handy dandy Google and started typing in criminal justice and finance, law and finance degree, because to me, I already knew I wanted to pursue my master's immediately after my undergraduate. The career field I would have entered, I would have made a max $35,000 starting out, and that's not enough. Not to mention, I still had that pull in my heart and still loved legal and crime and law, but I just didn't want to go to law school anymore. So by the grace, I discovered Regent University had this MA in Law program, Concentration in Wealth Management and Financial Planning. Reading over the program, it was exactly what I wanted, so I reached out to the program, told them about myself. And I remember talking to one of the admission counselors on a Monday afternoon, and the counselor was like, if you can get your statement of purpose and transcripts into us by Thursday, we can give you an answer Friday. So insert stress, but I got it all in and I got it done. So after graduation, I took a vacation and I interned for 6 months at Walt Disney World through the college program. I call it a vacation, at least. I had the pleasure of working at Cosmic Rays Starlight Cafe. Shout out to my fellow Space Rangers. And that was a really great experience because up to that point, I had not been to Disney World in almost 10 years due to Disney just being expensive and just hard for people to afford nowadays. So while I was at Disney, I took the time to research programs that would pay back your student loans, and the typical Peace Corps came up, Doctors Without Borders, you know, programs along those lines. But I found a program called AmeriCorps, researched it and discovered it was basically the domestic version of the Peace Corps. I loved it because I wouldn't have to do like the Peace Corps and go 2 years in a foreign country, you know, by yourself. So I applied to AmeriCorps, served 2 years to get the educational award. And to me, that experience was very special because that's how I got introduced to the mental health field, primarily youth and adults with severe emotional behavioral issues and youth and adults with overall developmental disabilities.
up to that point, I never was really exposed to that field. And honestly, if I knew about it beforehand, I would have gotten my degree in some other type of mental health field because I love working with that population. Now, it was highly stressful, but the reward definitely outweighed the risk.
I worked in the mental health field for almost 4 years before I transitioned to the financial planning sector after I graduated with my master's degree, and that brings us up to speed to today. I just wanted to get my full introduction out the way so then I can just focus on my goals for this podcast. So of course, we're going to talk about money in this podcast, but money is just one aspect of your life. This podcast will focus on holistic life through a financial lens. So you may be asking yourself, Catherine, what does that mean? Let me give you an example. So a client engages with me because she, he, they are having problems saving money. This client is working overtime, but does not know where the money is going. So I know the initial response is negative when we mention the B word, budget. The client may say, I know I need to budget, but it's hard and I don't want to do it though.
So there's a couple different ways that I could handle this situation. I could come in more authoritarian, more boss-like, and tell the client that, hey, you need to budget. There's no other way around it. And possibly end up shutting down the client emotionally. They're not going to want to talk to me. They're not going to want to work with me. So we're getting nowhere. We're spinning wheels. And I don't want that. On the flip side, if the client has told me that they don't want to budget, it's hard, I'm like, okay, so let's try this instead. Do you think you can keep every receipt you spent, every time you swipe your card, every time you pay for cash, you pay for something with cash, you keep that receipt? And we're going to monitor this for 2 weeks. And at our next meeting, you're going to bring me all your receipts and I'm going to help you categorize them. Once we categorize, we're going to add up each category and see how much you're spending. And what I hope with that exercise is that in those 2 weeks, the client has either, you know, maybe they've ate out more times than they realized, or maybe they're like, oh, I had to fill up twice. I had to fill up my car more than I usually do because I was out doing things for the kids, or you know, something happened on the car that I had to get fixed. So just any of things along those lines, I hope the client, it will bring them to see that, hey, I'm spending a lot of money in this category and I want to cut it. And then that's when I'm going to come back to the client and I'm like, hey, that's budgeting. Budgeting is just telling your money where to go. So I'm a firm believer in baby steps because let's be honest, we can't expect to build generational wealth when we have all this debt and we don't have the financial knowledge of how to build wealth. Like, we can't expect to put $50 a month in an investment account and expect it to be $1 million in 2 years. That's just not feasible. So that's my main goal for this podcast. I want to educate the public on sound financial principles, prevent them from falling victim to cycles of debt and predatory financial services. Because once we build your financial literacy knowledge, that in turn increases your financial capability. And financial capability is your ability to apply financial literacy principles. Once your financial capability is increased, your overall financial health and wellness increases. And once your financial health and wellness is increased, you are on the path to financial freedom. And freedom means a lot of things to different people. A lot of people may hear Dave Ramsey say financial peace, but even financial peace means different things to different people. Are you debt-free? The only bills you have are your mortgage and your utilities? Is your retirement plan fully funded? Do you have the kids' college plans funded? Not one person can define what financial peace or what financial freedom means to the next. That's up to you. So that's all the time I have for today. Thank you for tuning in. In the next show, we're not going to dilly-dally. We're jumping straight into the lesson. Thank you again for tuning in, and I'll catch you next time.